Romans chapter 12, and we may get into 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 1 to 5, so I'll give you a moment to find your places in both of those scriptures tonight. Romans chapter 12, and verses 1 and 2 is what I want to take a look at, and then we may get over to 1 Peter chapter 4, and verses 1 to 5, to kind of go along with what we got. I've entitled this message, The Weird Way. And that's going to be Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, and 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 1 to 5. We may get into that here in just a few moments. But when we think about the different ways that we can walk in life, we talked some about that, a little bit about that this morning, whenever we was looking at the decisions that Lot made and the decisions that Abram made, and how that affected their lives and their families and the different things that took place. Well, as we look here tonight, there's also some things that I want us to see that I think would kind of go along with it, just to kind of in a different way, part of a scripture that we can see in the different paths and the ways that we can walk in our life. And Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 1 and 5. And as we think about the type of way in which we live, and we look at the verses here, we'll begin in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And as we look in chapter 12 of Romans there in verses 1 and 2, one of the things we see, of course, is as we live for the Lord and as we walk with God, the Bible says that we need to present our bodies a living sacrifice before God. And the whole idea there is, of course, whenever you look at that word present there, it has the idea of really a once and for all act, something that you're gonna do one time. You know, I'm gonna present myself unto the Lord, in essence, really once and for all, to let God see and know and understand that I want to follow Him, I want to live for Him, and the whole idea is that I'm not planning on turning back and going back to my former self. I'm going to present myself to the Lord. I'm going to present myself to God with no desire and no ambition and no thought on going back to my former life and who I used to be and the desires that I used to have. But I'm going to present myself once and for all to God. And so there in the text, he says that what we need to do is we need to present our bodies as a living sacrifice. Once and for all, to present ourselves to the Lord, to allow God to work in our lives, allow God to work in our bodies, and he says a living sacrifice. Now, we think about what a sacrifice is. Now, the Apostle Paul said, I take up the cross and that I die daily. He says, every day I have to die daily to myself, to my own self-will, to my own ambitions, to my own life, and to my own direction of what I want to do and where I want to go. So we present ourselves a living sacrifice, sacrificing myself to the Lord. And listen, sometimes, and when we think about a sacrifice, it has the idea as well as, you know, sometimes in the midst of a sacrifice, it may be that we go through some, as we sacrifice our ambitions and desires and things like that, that it's maybe a little difficult for us. But we're ready, but we are willing to set aside, to endure those difficulties to continue to follow God. Does that make sense? We're willing to set aside those difficulties. We're willing to endure those things. We're willing to allow those things in our life as we sacrifice our ambitions and sacrifice our desires to present ourselves and walk with God. That listen, that there are some things that listen, as we walk with the Lord and as we live for God, as there are going to be times in our life where, of course, we may suffer to some degree for how we walk with God and the way we walk with God and the reasons why that we walk with God. Listen, we're living in a sin-filled world, that whenever we live for God and walk for God and talk about the Lord and praise the Lord and all these different things, that there is a sinful society out here, a wicked world out here that doesn't understand why we desire to live for the Lord, why we desire to walk with God. There's a world out here that doesn't understand and comprehend why that all of us on a Sunday night would want to gather here in God's house to hear from Him and to sing about Him and to praise Him and to worship Him and just to talk about His goodness and sing about the goodness of God. That is a weird way to them. To a lost and dying world, they don't understand what it means to present their bodies a living sacrifice before the Lord. The reason why that is because the world's out there doing what it desires to do. It is living how it desires to live. It is going in its own direction, going in its own way. But as God's people, as Christians, we are called upon to present ourselves a living sacrifice. And a sacrifice goes through some hardships. A sacrifice goes through some difficulties. A sacrifice is something that is going to take the brunt. It's going to take the punishment. And listen, whenever we present ourselves a living sacrifice to God, as we walk with God, there are going to be times in our life when it may be a difficult walk. There'll be times in our life when it may be tough. It may not always be the way we desire for it to be, such as easy as we may desire it to be. But we think about this sacrifice. The Bible says to present our bodies a living sacrifice. And this sacrifice is going to be what? We're going to present ourselves a once offering for as a living sacrifice. The Bible says, and that sacrifice is going to be holy. Now, when they gave the sacrifices back in the Old Testament, when they sacrificed the animals to the Lord, they did everything they could to make sure when those lambs came in that they were without a blemish. They did everything they could to examine them and make sure that they were exactly the way they were supposed to be, that there was nothing wrong with them before they sacrificed them and presented them to God. And so much in the same way, listen, as we present ourselves to God, we do everything we can to present ourselves as a living sacrifice, to come before God as holy as we can, to come before God living a holy life. The Bible says, be you holy as I am holy. And so he says, about your bodies, a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. When I was thinking about sacrifice, I was reading a story the other day, and many of you may have read it before. It was about the praying hens, and it was talking about that how in the 15th century there was a family of 18, and two of them wanted to be artists. And these two little boys knew that their father was no way they'd be able to send them, to school to be able to do that which they desired to do. So the two boys made an agreement with each other, and they said, "Well, I'll tell you what." One of them said, "I'll work in the mines for several years, for the 4 years that you need to go." And the other one said, "You go to school." And he says, "I'll work in the mines when you get out." He says, "You work for me and then I'll go." And so he said, "Okay." And so the one boy, he worked in the mines there for 4 years while the other one was in art school doing everything he could to be that artist and learn as much as he could. And so he came back. And when he came back, he said, "All right." He says, "Now it's your time." And that young man, he went to the mines, worked every day, worked his finger to the bone, and worked every day for his brother to be able to go. But he worked so hard there in those mines that whenever his brother got back, he wasn't able to hold the paintbrush like he used to. He wasn't able to paint like he wanted to. He wasn't able to handle the paintbrush in his hands like he used to, because he worked so hard and his hands were just so beaten by all the work that the labor intensive that the mines required. And so he wasn't able to do it. And so he felt bad about that. And one day they were sitting at the dinner table and he was looking at his brother, and his brother went to go pray before he prayed over his meal, and he put his hands together and he says, "I know what I'll do." He said, "I'll paint a picture of my brother's hands." And so he painted a picture of his brother's hands. And so his name was Albert. And it is said that those hands are unknowingly to both of them is what we look at today as a picture of what one did for another through love and sacrifice. Just thought it was interesting as we think about sacrificing our desires and sacrificing our wants and sacrificing ourselves wholeheartedly for someone else, which is as much of the same way as what God has called us to do the same. To sacrifice ourselves, to sacrifice our will, to sacrifice our desires wholeheartedly for Him. The Bible tells us there in Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, to present ourselves before Him. To present ourselves. Now, when the Bible says to present ourselves, it doesn't just mean just one aspect of yourselves. It means all of you. Now, if I'm going to present myself before God, then I'm not going to just present my hands before God, I'm not just going to present my feet before God, but I'm going to present everything that I have before God, my whole body. I'm going to present my mind, I'm going to present my eyes, I'm going to present my my tongue, I'm going to present everything that's about me before God. And by doing so, that means as I present it before God, I want it to be just as honoring and just as holy and just as pure and just as good as it can possibly be as I come before the Lord. Now, if He was going to how many of you have ever, maybe perhaps some
went somewhere and somewhere special, and it was out to maybe out for dinner one night, maybe a guest speaker was coming, and maybe for work or something like that, or maybe you went to a meeting somewhere, maybe it was like a political thing, and you went somewhere, and anyway, somebody was coming, and you dressed up real nice, and you got your hair all done, and you got your suit on, and put a real nice dress on, and you made yourself look real good, and you went out so that you could present yourself, the best side of yourself, out there with everybody else. Well, much in the same way, that's what we want to do. We want to come before God. You say, listen, if I'm going to present myself to God, I want to present myself to the Lord in a much better way than I would anybody else out here.
That's right.
Amen? If I'm going to present myself to God, then I want to do it in a much better way than I would anything to anybody down here. Listen, I want to present myself just as good and holy and righteous and pure as possible as I can. And so we're going to present ourselves to God, a living sacrifice. I think about Abraham as he took his son up to Mount Moriah and he offered his son there as a sacrifice as God commanded him. Whenever Abraham reached his hand back to go to slay his son, you know that Abraham, whenever he reached back to slay his son, Abraham was in essence really presenting himself to God as a living sacrifice. You say, well, how was that? Seems to me like he's sacrificing his son. Well, he was presenting himself a living sacrifice also to God because he was sacrificing his only son. Sacrificing his dreams and sacrificing that which he desired, sacrificing that which he loved, and was willing to slay it all and give it all up for God, not knowing what God was going to do, not knowing how God was going to bring his son back because he knew the promises of God, but yet he was willing to do it anyway, not knowing what God was going to do, but he was willing to do it anyway, and so he was willing to present himself a sacrifice, a whole sacrifice to the Lord. He presented himself in a tremendous way, holy, as a living sacrifice to God. Jesus said in Mark chapter 8 and verse 34, whosoever will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. That is a living sacrifice tonight. Whosoever will, whoever desires to come after me, let him take up his cross, as even as the Apostle Paul said, and let him die daily to himself. A living sacrifice. A living sacrifice. Verse 2 says that we're not to live like the world. Notice he says in verse 2, he says, be not conformed to the world. Be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You know, there's a difference between being conformed and being transformed. Now, think of it like this. Now, if you took some water and you poured it in a vase or in some sort of pot, the water would conform to the image of that pot, whichever it could be. So the water would conform into the image of that pot, but it would still be water. Does that make sense? You can pour clear water in a jar or whatever it could be, whatever pot it was, and that pure water would conform into the image of that pot. But the Bible tells us here, listen, he says, be not conformed to this world. So what's the Apostle Paul trying to get us to see? He says, what I don't want you to do is I don't want you to allow this world to bend you and to form you and to shape you into its image. I don't want you to allow the world to bend you and conform you and to shape you into its image. But what I do want you to do is I want you to do this. He says, I want you to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now, if I'm going to transform something and I'm going to make something completely different, it's going to be completely new. I'm not just going to conform it, you know, it's not just water going into a pot that's taking on the image of something else. But it has the idea of something on the inside of it changing to be something completely different. So, in other words, the Apostle Paul is saying, listen, I don't want you to allow this world to bend you and conform you and to shape you into its image. What I desire for you to do is I want you to allow yourself to be transformed. I want you to allow yourself to become something completely different. You say, well, how in the world do I come but something completely different? Well, the Apostle Paul tells us, notice what he says there in Romans. He says, be transformed by the what? The renewing of your mind. And how am I transformed by the renewing of my mind? Well, I'm transformed by the renewing of my mind by allowing the Word of God to have its work and its way in my life. By being transformed by the renewing of my mind, I am allowing the Word of God to come into my heart and my life, and I'm going to accept it, I'm going to meditate on it and ponder on it, I'm going to allow it to find a lodging place in my heart and my life, and I'm going to put my faith and trust in it, and I'm going to allow myself to be transformed, become someone completely different, like the Lord needs me to be. And how am I going to be different? I'm going to change the way I think. And the Word of God is that which does that. He says, don't be conformed
to this world. Don't allow the world to bend you and shape you and beat you into its own image, but be ye transformed, changed from the inside out, from the inside out, by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and the acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we think about this, and we think about a Christian who is being transformed by the renewing of his mind, to live a different way, to live a different kind of life, a life that is holy and acceptable to God, to have a different way of thinking. And if we're going to have a different way of thinking, there's one thing that we're going to need. We have a different way. We have to have a different mindset. Well, what mindset is that going to be? I mean, if I'm going to think different, we know that the word of God is going to help me with that. And so, if I'm going to think different, then what do I need to do? Hold your place here and go to 1 Peter chapter 4. So that means we're going to have to change our mindset. What does my mindset need to be? Well, in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 1, notice what the Bible says. He says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh," notice what he says, "as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh," he says, "likewise, arm yourselves likewise with the what? The same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." And so the whole idea is this, is I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind. If I'm going to be transformed by the renewing of my mind, then what I'm going to do is I'm going to allow the Word of God to dwell inside of me. I'm going to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord. I'm going to allow myself to be conformed into the image of Christ. I'm going to be bent and shaped around Him, not only just outwardly, but also internally. I'm going to be conformed and transformed into His image. Every day, growing more into the image of Christ. And if I'm going to do that with that mindset, and the Bible tells me in 1 Peter chapter 4, then I need to be likewise have the same mind of Christ. And the same mind of Christ was this, that He was willing to suffer in the flesh. And because He was willing to suffer in the flesh, He says, likewise, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Why? Because, listen, living the Christian life, as I said earlier, that's why the Bible says to present yourself a living sacrifice. Because living for God, living for Christ, it goes against that what our flesh desires to do. Because what does our flesh desire to do? Our flesh desires to live in sin, does it not? Our flesh craves sin. It desires to live in sin. It has that which it desires. It wants to do, which is against God. But not just that. But as I said, as we think about the weird way of living for God. Now, sometimes, and this doesn't happen to everybody, but listen, there are some people that are persecuted in their own within their own network of family and friends because they desire to give their life to Christ. And listen, what that means, and so what is that? Well, that becomes in essence a sacrifice. They're taking on some punishment, they're taking the brunt of some things that's coming into their life because they're willing to serve and worship the Lord, because they're willing to give their life to Christ. And so the Bible tells us here, he says, "For as much then as Christ has suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. For he that has suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin." I tell you what, when we live for the Lord, when we suffer in the flesh, the Bible says to arm ourselves likewise with that same mind. And whenever we suffer in the flesh, the Bible says that he that does that has ceased from sin. That means that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh into the lust thereof, but the will of God. Notice what he says there in verse 2, that he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lust of the men, but to the will of God. And listen, we have the mind of Christ. When we have the mind of Christ and we say, well, you know what? I'm going to live for God. I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to live for Him. I'm going to follow Him. Yes, I may suffer some persecution along the way, or this may happen, or this may happen, or listen, I may lose this and I may lose that, but you know what? I'm going to serve God. I'm going to trust in Him. I'm going to follow Him. I'm going to take up my cross daily and walk with Him. But the Bible says there in verse 2 that this person, we do this, and this person, he no longer should live the rest of his time in the flesh to the lusts of men, but to the will of God. And so we see a change of life. So whenever I give myself over to Christ, knowing that as I live for God, that I'm going to suffer persecution from Him, for Him in my life to some degree, that I'm not going to go back to the old life. I'm not going to go back to how I used to live. Notice in verse 2, he says that he should no longer live the rest of his time in the flesh. That he's not going to go back to living like the old man. That's why in Romans chapter 12, we see presenting ourselves as a living sacrifice to God. Did you know in the sacrifice, back in the Old Testament, when they presented their sacrifice to God, they didn't bring the sacrifice back. Does that make sense? It's a one-time deal.
They didn't make a sacrifice, and then when they got done with the sacrifice, they didn't bring the sacrifice back. No, that was a one-time thing. So we present ourselves as a living sacrifice, Romans 12, that I'm going to show God that I'm willing to live for Him and walk for Him, even though I may suffer. Listen, some suffer more than others, especially in other countries. We have no idea here in America what some of these people go through and what they have to see and the things they have to hear and the persecution that some of the countries face as they follow Christ. But here in America, we can, to some degree, we of course, can suffer some persecution. And as we suffer persecution for living for the Lord, or we just take different things that come into our life, then we can see that the Bible tells us that we do this as a living sacrifice, a one-time thing. Is it going to hurt some? Yes. Is it going to be offensive to some? Yes, it may be. But you know what? The Lord Jesus, the same mindset. He armed himself with the idea that he was going to take up his cross and he was going to die for the sins of the world. That was his mindset. This is what I'm going to do. When the Lord Jesus took up his cross and he marched his way up towards Calvary and everything that he went through, I guarantee you there wasn't one part of his being that said, I need to turn around and go back. Amen? There wasn't a part of Christ that desired to turn around and go back. No, he was going to the cross because that was his purpose and that was his mission. And that's why he came. It was a one-time thing. He was presenting himself as a living sacrifice. And on the way up to the cross, he suffered. And on the way up to the cross, he endured hardship. The Bible says we are to endure hardship as good soldiers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Here we see in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that we are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. And as we present ourselves this one-time offering, a living sacrifice with no intention and no mindset of going back to living the same way, the Bible says here in 1 Peter chapter 4, that we arm ourselves likewise with the same mind. And so as I live for God every day, I arm myself every morning with the idea that I'm not going to go back to my old lifestyle. I'm not going to go back to the old way of living. I am now a Christian. I live for Christ. I trust in Him. I'm pressing forward. I don't know what's ahead up here, but I'm going to trust God. But it's one thing I know. I may not know everything up here that I need to know. I'm going to walk by faith and not by sight, but I do know this. I know that I'm not going to go back to where I used to be. I do know that. I'm not going to go back. I'm not going to regress. I'm not going to backslide and go back to this former person and be what I used to be. I'm going to arm myself with the same mind that even though I may suffer in the flesh, I'm still going to have the mind of Christ and press forward and do what I have to do. And so we see the idea that we're going to present ourselves this living sacrifice. When Christ came to this world, he came for the purpose of doing the will of the Father. He paid that ultimate sacrifice, which was himself. And he was willing to be ridiculed and mocked and willing to be made fun of by others. He was willing to suffer the agony of having his beard plucked out and scourged until he didn't even look like a human anymore. Willing to be nailed to the cross for the sins of the world. He was willing to do whatever it is that he had to do to accomplish the Father's will. And that's why our text says, arm yourselves likewise with the same mind. Have the same mindset of living the Christian life as Christ did as he was on his way to the cross. That he was going up there for a one-time sacrifice and I'm not planning on coming back. And I'm going to do that which is pleasing to the Father. Having the same mindset as a Christian. That I'm presenting myself to God. I'm going to live for God today. And despite how the day goes, despite what somebody says, or despite what happens, I'm going to live for God today. And I'm going to have the mindset that even though I may suffer persecution today, even though he may say this and she may say that, they may believe this and they may believe that, and even though they do this or they do that, however it is that I become hurt or offended or whatever it is throughout the day, regardless of what takes place in my life, what kind of suffering that I have to go through, regardless of all of that, there's one thing I know is I'm going to have the mind of Christ. I'm not going back to where I was. And so that's what the Apostle Paul wants us to see. That I'm going to arm myself likewise with the same mind. For he that suffered in the flesh hath ceased from sin. Listen, whenever I tell you what, we present ourselves as a living sacrifice to God and we're walking with God. One of the things that we do is we begin to produce the fruit of the Spirit in our life, which enables us to live for the Lord like we need to live. Arm yourselves likewise with the same mind, the same mindset that Christ had. You can jot this down. 1 John chapter 2, verse 6. The Bible says, he that saith He abideth in him also himself also to walk even as he walked. Let me read it again. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. And so if we're going to walk as Christ walked, then what are we doing? We are presenting ourselves a living sacrifice. How can two walk together, the Bible says, unless they be agreed? And so I'm going to go in the same direction as the Lord. I'm going to live how God's asked me to live. I'm going to endure the hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. And I'm going to press forward. I'm going to arm myself with the same mind. Now I'm going to suffer in the flesh, but yet I'm going to keep pressing forward, and I'm not going to go back to the life that I used to live. And if I say that I abide in him, then as 1 John 2:6 says, that he that abideth in him ought himself also to walk even as he walked. 1 Peter 2:21 says, For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow his steps. So why are we supposed to do these things? Because verse 2 says that we should no longer live in the flesh. No longer live in the flesesfor what purpose? No longer live in the flesh so we don't go back to our old ways, to our old nature, but to the will of God. Notice what it says in verse 3. 1 Peter 4:3. The Bible says, for the time past of our life may suffice us to have wrought the will of the Gentiles, when we walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. So the Bible says there in verse 3, he says, listen, the reason why you're going to arm yourself with the same mind of Christ, you're going to press forward despite whatever persecution, despite whatever hardship you may face. You're going to present your bodies a living sacrifice to the Lord, and you're going to press forward despite the odds, despite what happens, because you're not going to go back to verse 3 of 1 Peter 4, to the time past. Because in our time past, what kind of life did we live? We lived a life where we would work the will of the Gentiles in our life. We did what we wanted to do, the Gentiles, the world in general. In the time past, we weren't seeking the Lord's will. We weren't seeking the Lord's direction. We were just doing what we wanted to do. We were living how we wanted to live. He says there was a time past in your life when you were living this kind of way and you were doing all these things. And he listed there in verse 3. We walked in lasciviousness and lust and excess of wine, revelings and banquetings and abominable idolatries. He said, in time past, this is the way you live. He says, and so he says there in verse 4 of 1 Peter 4, he says, wherein they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. And so when we think about walking the weird way and living for the Lord tonight, and as I said earlier, that people would think it's strange. You mean you go to church on Sunday night? You mean you go to church on Sunday morning? You go to Sunday school? You mean after the service? Some of you don't even leave till 1:30, 2 o'clock? Yeah, that's right. Some of it's my fault. I take the blame for it. But you know what? I enjoy not leaving here till that late, because you know what I do? I sit in the pew sometimes, and I just look around. I see everybody laughing, everybody talking, yeah. Everybody's having a good time. I hear all the people up here singing. And I just sit in the pew, and I just look around, and I just watch everybody, and I say, God, I'm so thankful,
yes,
that I'm in a church where, despite the hardships that people have faced this week, despite the things that are going on in their life, despite all these things, here they are, Sunday morning. Here it is, 1:30 in the afternoon. Here it is, 1:45. And gobs of people are still sitting here, standing around talking, just having a good time. And you don't see that everywhere. A lot of places, church is over. Man, they can't wait to beeline. I'm not speaking bad about nobody that does that. Please don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying that it's a church of fellowship.
Yeah.
And fellowship makes family.
Yes.
And when people sit around and enjoy each other and they talk together and they just have a good time together and they sing together, and you get that, nobody wants to leave. I don't know how many times I've had people come up to me and say, you know what, preacher, I just don't think nobody wants to go home. And that's good.
Yes.
And it brings me to these verses, and I just sit here and think, as I said, you know, people just facing hardships in their life, all different kinds of things. But yet, despite all of this, they're willing to take up their cross daily. They're willing to be here Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night.
They're here all hours of the, you know, all the different times of throughout the week, and just different ministries and different things being done. And people just stay here all day, you know, and it's just, it's amazing to me. And he says, you know what, I'm saved. In essence, we can kind of get this idea. He says, I'm saved. And I'm going to present myself the best way I can to the Lord one time as a holy sacrifice. I'm going to take up my cross. I'm going to die daily for Him. Because I don't want to go back to the time past that I had. There in verse 3, the time past where I lived like this and I've done these things. There's a world out here that says, you mean you want to go soul winning? You mean you want to support missionaries? You mean you're going to tithe? And you mean you're going to give your money to the church? And you're going to do this? And you're going to do that? You're going to spend all your waking time and all your waking hours? You're going to spend your whole life serving God? You're going to spend your whole life doing that? Yes, I am.
Amen.
Yes, I am. Without apology.
Yes.
Without apology. He says, present yourselves a living sacrifice. Having the same mind, you hold your place here and you go over to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2. And he says, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. And then there in verse 1, as we present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. I want to live a life that is acceptable to God.
Yeah.
I want to present myself as someone acceptable to God, not based on my own merits, my own goodness, nothing like that. But I want to be. But I want to live a life that is pleasing to the Lord. And listen, I can only be acceptable to God in essence, really, if I'm just saved. Amen. Yeah. If I'm just saved and washed and cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus, because all my works are as filthy rags in the sight of God. And so the only way I can become righteous is the righteousness that He has given in me. The only way I can, in essence, become acceptable is that if I get saved and accept what He's done for me. But as we live our Christian life and we walk in the weird way, the Bible says when you live this kind of way, in verse 4, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 4, the Bible says, they think it strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot, speaking evil of you. The reason why they think it's strange that you run not with them is because they don't know what it's like to give themselves over to Christ. They don't know what it's like as of right now to have all their sins washed and forgiven and to have it all, to have that old sin account erased. They don't know what that's like. They don't know what it's like as of yet to give themselves over to the Lord. And knowing that the Holy Spirit of God lives and dwells within them. Bible says they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of riot. The world doesn't understand why your life has changed. They don't understand why that you don't live the way you used to. Why you still don't walk in lasciviousness. Why you still don't walk in a life of excess of wine and revelings and banquetings and abominable adulteries. They don't understand why you don't continue to live this way. And the reason why they don't understand it is because they haven't met the Savior. And if they would meet the Savior, and they would call upon the Savior, and they would understand who the Savior is, and they would invite Him to be a part of their life, that they too would understand why we have no desire to go back to the time past. And they too would understand what it would be, what it's like to know you look back and you see what God saved you from. You look back and you think about that day that you got saved and you understand all the sins that God washed away. You understand all the things that you ever said, done, and thought that was against God and against everybody else. When you understand on that day that you got saved and all those things were completely washed away and that now my sin account is empty and now my sin account has been washed away completely by the blood of Christ. And those people don't understand that because they don't know what it's like. But if they would, but call out to Christ, if they would but lift their hands up to the Lord, if they would just see and understand that where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. If they would just but see and understand that despite where we are in our life and the depths of sin that we've got ourselves into, that His hand is not shortened that He cannot save. If they wouldn't see that and understand that,
then they would see and understand that going back to that old life and going back to the old way is not the direction that we desire to live anymore. Now, I'm not saying that we're perfect and that we no longer sin and none of those different things, but I can tell you this. I have no desire to go back to a life void of Christ. I have no desire to go back to a life where, listen, if I didn't go to church, listen, even if I didn't pastor gospel light, if I didn't show up on church on a Wednesday night or a Sunday night or a Sunday morning, I would sit there and think, what in the world? Something's odd about today. It wouldn't even feel right. Wouldn't even seem right. If I wasn't studying for sermons throughout the week, and if I didn't spend my time in prayer, and if I wasn't doing all the different things that as Christians that we do, my life would seem void and empty. I wouldn't even know what to do with myself. I wouldn't know what to think. I wouldn't know what direction to go. I would be completely lost. And the Bible says that they think it's strange that you run not with them to the same excess of evil speaking, because the world and the life that we used to live, they are walking in lasciviousness. They are living this life. They are living in excess of wine. The drunkards and the drug addicts and all these different things that the devil has got himself so got his people just wrapped up in his arms and all kinds of addictions and all these different kinds of things. And they think it's strange that you no longer want to be a part of it. So you're walking in the weird way. You're walking the weird way. You're a strange person. Strange person. Hey, listen, you know, if the world wants to consider me a fanatic, that's okay.
That's all right.
I'm all right with that. Listen, the world can call me anything it wants to call me. I'm okay. But listen, the best thing I can ever be called by my Savior is just a servant.
Amen.
That's all I am. I'm just a servant.
Amen.
As the song says, I'm just a nobody. Amen.
That's right.
I'm just a nobody. But I'm trying to tell everybody about somebody.
Yes.
Wherein they think it's strange that you run not within the same excess and ride speaking evil of you. Walk in the weird way. In the past, before we got saved, there was a certain character that we had about ourselves. But the Bible shows us, of course, there in verse 4, that after we change, that we don't do the same things that we used to do. Come out from among them and be separate, saith the Lord. That's why the Bible says in Romans chapter 12 that we were just looking at a minute ago, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So as we just think about our own personal lives today, we say, Lord, I'm just asking tonight that you would just help me, Lord, to continue to walk in the path, to have the same mindset that you had. You suffered on that cross. You started all the way down there in the Via Della Rosa, and you walked all the way up there with that cross and getting beat and suffered and getting mocked and all these different things, all the way up there to the cross. And you got all the way up there and you died on that old rugged cross, and not one time did you have a desire to go back. Not one time did you have a desire to quit. Not one time did you ever say, I'm just going to give up and throw in the towel. But you were willing to suffer. Me as a Christian with the same mindset, arming myself with the same mindset that in life I'm going to go through difficult times. In life I'm going to suffer some hardships that's coming from all different kinds of directions. But I'm going to arm myself with the same mindset that I'm not going to quit and I'm not going to give up and I'm not going to throw in the towel, no matter how bad it gets and no matter the way it looks and no matter anything. Even no matter what I don't understand, I'm going to keep marching forward. I'm going to keep presenting myself a living sacrifice. And so as we pray tonight, we ask God to help us to continue to do so. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we ask God this evening that you would help us, Lord, to live for you. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be more conformed in your image every day. Lord, I pray tonight that you would search our hearts.
And God, you know what we need, and you know what we need to hear. Lord, I'm just praying this evening that you would just have your perfect work in our life tonight. As the piano plays, and we all just pray to ourselves this evening, and we just say, God, help me to live a life that is pleasing to you this week. And God, despite the hardships, and despite whatever sufferings that I may suffer in life, whether because I'm a Christian or whether it's just hardships that I just face in general, Lord, help me to have the mind of Christ. That no matter what I have to suffer, and no matter what that I go through, that God, that my desire would be to continually every day to present myself acceptable before you. That every day I would demonstrate to you that I have no desire to go back to my old life. No desire to go back to my old ways, but Lord, to follow you. And Lord, though there may be some people that think it's strange and some people that may think I'm odd, Lord, I pray that you just help me to be that peculiar people. Help me, God, to be that man and woman. Could be tonight, maybe there's someone here that's not saved, never trusted Christ as your Savior. No better time than tonight to know Christ if you don't already know Him. And if you're here this evening, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior. Nobody looking but me and God, but would you just lift your hand up so I can see? Anybody like that here tonight? Never trusted Jesus as my personal Savior. Anybody like that here tonight? Maybe here this evening you're just saying, preacher, I just want you to pray for me that I would just arm myself with the same mind of Christ. That every day I'd just be more conformed and transformed into His image. That I wouldn't allow the world and the devil to beat me down to a place to become conformed into this world. That I would arm myself with the mind of Christ and live for Him. Preacher, would you pray for me about that? Preacher, just pray for me. And I live for Him. If we can stand to our feet, we'll come to open up the altar tonight. If you'd like to come, just pray for a few moments. We'll open up the altar this evening. God, help me to have your mind. God, as I examine myself, help me to arm myself with your mind. Your mindset, not my own, but God, with your mindset. Could be that you're coming tonight and you're just praying for a friend, praying for family. Could be you're praying for your church, whatever it could be. Praying for lost souls. I'm sure all of us here tonight may know one or more people that are not saved. What a great opportunity this evening to pray for these folks who are lost tonight. Altars filled up all across the church this evening. It could just be that the very prayer that you pray might be the one that God uses to get to that person's heart tonight. Could be that very prayer that wherever this person is that you're praying for, that God peels back the scales that have been placed upon their eyes and they're able to see that which you need them to see. It could be tonight that maybe wherever they are, you're praying for their soul. Somebody comes by and talks to them about the Lord, gives them a gospel tract. Maybe they hear a song on the radio that points them to you. Or maybe they just remember back to some things that you said to them years ago, or maybe even last week. And as they begin to muse on these things, God begins to use that seed that you placed to work in their heart and their life.
And God, we understand that you're in the miracle business, and we just praying and asking, Lord, tonight,
you just do tremendous things.
We're praying and asking the Lord tonight that you'd open people's hearts and help them see. We got an old cross back there at the very back of the church. It's got little crosses all over to symbolize people that are lost. All those little crosses on the back of that little cross back there in the back of the church. People put those little crosses on there because that represents, every cross represents someone that is not saved. You pray for them tonight. Thank you so much for being here this evening. Pray the message was a blessing to you. It's good to be here tonight. And now let's be dismissed in prayer. If we could, Brother Jack, would you dismiss us tonight, please?
Father God, it's been great.